Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Office Evolution Radio. We're in the Dunwoody office, and it is another perfect day here in Atlanta, and I'm happy to have with me Mr. Graham Perry, and he is with La Vista Associates. Welcome, Graham.
Thanks, Lee. Thanks for having me on. Glad to be here.
Well, before we get too far into things, tell us about La Vista Associates. How are you serving folks?
So La Vista Associates, we're a full-service commercial real estate firm. We started in 1972. My dad actually started the company, and we've been serving clients in, you know, all over Atlanta and the Southeast, and work with groups nationally on some of their real estate. And primarily our focus is on all service lines within brokerage. We've done some development, but 95% of our business is on the brokerage side.
So now, did you always know that you were going to get into the, kind of the family business?
No, not at all. I was a Spanish major in college.
Spanish major? How's that working for you?
Well, I like to think that I'm fluent.
And so you went to college. So you were you saying, I'm not going to be in the family business? Were you like kind of rebellious and that you were going to go a different way? Or did you, in the back of your mind, think maybe there was a chance?
I think so. Growing up, I used to think that my dad was a photographer because he would always put me in the car and he'd drive around on the weekends and take pictures of buildings. So
not an architect.
Not an architect. Right. I thought he was a photographer. Then during high school, I interned a couple times with him, but always had different jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, whether my first job was at Waffle House, I was a short order cook or a grill operator.
So you grew up here in Atlanta?
I grew up here in Atlanta.
And so you were in Waffle House. What's that like? Did you ever have to work like in the middle of the night?
No, I was on the first shift. So I would work from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m.
So what kind of crowd do you get there?
You'd get a morning crowd. Sometimes you'd get the stragglers who would, you know, just be leaving the club. But you know, usually a professional environment, in my opinion. I was at the Waffle House there at Far Road in Piedmont.
Okay, so that was a nice Waffle House.
Right.
Now, what'd you learn? What are some lessons learned from the Waffle House?
Lessons learned from the Waffle House?
That's going to be your first book.
I learned how to cook.
You learned how to make eggs.
Learned how to make eggs, crack eggs without getting the shell in the pan.
So what's the secret to that?
Practice.
Practice,
yeah. If you do it 100 times, you're bound to get good at it.
How many eggs do you think you've cracked?
In my lifetime, thousands.
Thousands of eggs.
Yes. My wife makes me crack eggs every morning if we're having breakfast.
You have a specialty. So, and now no eggshells in your eggs.
No eggshells.
So now from the Waffle House, were you in college at that time or you were?
No, that was summer before my senior year of high school.
Okay. And then you went to college majored in Spanish.
Majored in Spanish.
And what school did you go to?
I went to Hampton Sydney College in Farmville, Virginia.
So your parents shipped you away?
They shipped me away. So it was a great.
How'd you even find that college?
You know, it was kind of on a whim. I wanted to do something a little bit different. Looking back on it, I think I wanted the liberal arts education. Mm-hmm. And Hampton Sydney offered that. There's a lot of history there, a lot of tradition. You know, the college started in 1775.
Wow.
And it is today one of three all-male schools left in the country. I think the other two are Wabash College and Morehouse College here in Atlanta. But the school, you know, afforded me the opportunity to learn and study a lot of different subjects and kind of helped me, you know, find my passion in Spanish.
And did you travel? Have you traveled to Spain or Spanish?
I have. I was fortunate enough to study abroad a few times in Spain and then once in Argentina.
So now, after college, did you look for jobs that utilized Spanish?
I didn't.
That.
I guess it was starting my senior year. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I figured I should just pick an industry and say that's what I wanted to do. Cause
right. To get people off your back.
Right. Cause it was a better answer than, well, I don't know. And I said commercial real estate, and I started learning more about it, took a CCIM introductory course.
So your dad was happy?
No. He was pleased. He was pleased, and so I started learning more about it and wanted to not necessarily work for my dad right out of school.
Right.
So I decided that Texas was going to be the place for me to start my career. So my spring break senior year was not like many others. I flew out to Dallas and cold called my way into meeting other brokers in Dallas. That week I met with 16 companies and 22 people in order to find a job out of school and got a...
Did it work?
It worked. So I got a job opportunity working with Henry S. Miller in Dallas, Texas. And I was the assistant to the president. So I did some admin work as well as learned the business. And his focus was on office tenant representation and corporate services.
What is office tenant representation?
So we represent groups, or what does it mean? It means, broker who represents companies to help them with their office space search, relocation, acquisitions, dispositions.
But that's different than if I'm going to a building and I want to lease there, the building has their own agenda.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
It might be different than mine.
Right. Yeah. We represent the tenant's best interest.
Right. So you're advocating for me.
We're advocating for you. We're balancing the playing field.
Right. Because I could be taken advantage of.
Right. We're educating you on the market, the concessions that are being offered, mm-hmm. like free rent, tenant improvement allowance or dollars. And
so sometimes if you go right to the building, they may not mention some things, or maybe they can exaggerate my position.
Exactly. No, we, like I said, we balance the playing field. We educate our clients, the companies that we represent, on what's fair, what's market value. Mm-hmm. My dad used to say when he would represent a landlord and the company did not have a broker, he'd roughly get about a 20% premium than if the tenant had a broker. And when they say premium, they were paying more in rent than they would have had if they had been using a broker.
So now at La Vista, you're a tenant rep. That's your specialty?
Yes, that's my specialty.
Is that La Vista's specialty? Or no, La Vista could be either side?
Yeah, we're a full-service commercial real estate firm. Mm-hmm. There's folks there that specialize in landlord representation, investment sales. We have a property management group.
Right,
so we can serve all clients.
Right, whatever their needs are.
Whatever their needs are.
But you decided you prefer the tenant rep side?
Yes. So this is my sixth year in the business, and I've always been focused on office tenant representation. Mm-hmm. And through that focus, it's led to, say, some industrial requirements for clients, helping groups out on office building acquisitions, mm-hmm. Helping them get rid of their sublease. And, being at La Vista, we have the flexibility to work on all types of transactions, whether it's a build to suit, finding a site, finding a piece of land to help a group develop their own building. So it's really a fun time to be in the business. And
is this a good time in Atlanta?
It's a great time in Atlanta, and I would think all over the country.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So does La Vista serve the whole country, or primarily?
If our client has a requirement, then we will help them in other cities. For example, I'm working with a group that's based here in Atlanta on their office lease up in New Jersey. So
how do you even attack that? What do you know about New Jersey?
Well, I don't know much about New Jersey, but when we go and work these out-of-state transactions, we always cooperate with a local broker. So, mm-hmm. for example, in New Jersey, I went in and interviewed three different brokers that were in the market or the city where the requirement is.
Because they know the lay of the land there.
Because they know the lay of the land. And by interviewing those three brokers, I'm determining who I think and who I end up knowing is the best person to partner with. Mm-hmm. And they help me run the transaction to make sure that we are getting market terms and that we are finding the best available space and negotiating the best terms for our client.
Now, when you're working as a tenant rep, there's no fee for that, right? Like your fee is kind of built into the lease. Isn't that right?
Right. Yeah. Our fee is built into the base rate.
Whether they used you or not.
Right. That's exactly.
Kind of, it's like a no brainer, right?
You would think so. You know, either the landlord either takes all the commission or he shares it with me.
Right.
So.
So now when you, since you've been doing this work, do you remember the first deal you did?
I do. It was with a guy named Alan Fisher. He was with SFS CPAs in Dallas, Texas.
Right.
Or technically Addison, Texas.
So now what was that like?
It was a learning experience, obviously, but it was fun. He was a real great guy to deal with and very understanding. He liked how I got in touch with him, which was by walking in his office.
You're not shy.
I'm not shy. And I introduced myself, and I think this is one of the easier cold calls ever made. And he goes, I go, I'm a commercial real estate broker. I really didn't know what I was talking about. You know, it was 3-4 months in the business. And I'm a commercial.
Did your boss say, just start going into people's offices?
Exactly. He goes, yeah, you just.
That's how you meet people.
Exactly.
But how do you know, like, if they're ready to move or not? Like, do you have any idea?
No idea. There's some, I mean, there's some databases like CoStar that, you know, have an estimated guess of what their lease expiration is, but you really don't know until you're out in the market talking to tenants, talking with other brokers. Until you do those things, you really don't know.
You're kind of flying blind.
You're flying blind.
And then you go out there and you talk to this guy. And he's like, yeah, we are kind of, we're going to move or we're thinking of moving.
Yeah, he goes.
And for you, though, it doesn't even have to be moving, right? It could just be renegotiating the lease in the place they're at.
Exactly. And he goes, my lease is up in 6 months. I'd like to renew, but they need to build another office for me, give me new paint and carpet. And I said, well, okay. Have you thought about the building across the street? And he said, well, no. And I go, okay, let me run a market survey for you. And so pulled together 4 to 5 options for them. We ended up touring the other buildings and, you know, they're all around the same price, you know, give or take a dollar or two. And I ended up helping them move to the building across the street because that landlord was willing to build out the space the way he wanted to, offer enough free rent to cover his move cost. And he was at a lower market rate at the end of the day than what the current building he was in was offering.
Even though it was across the street.
Even though it was across the street.
Right. So what it didn't kind of disrupt his business that, other than the move.
Didn't disrupt his business. And he was able to move over the weekend. And it was a seamless, easy transaction for him.
So now what's that rush like when you do that deal?
Well, it's fun. You get to see it develop. You're there. You know, these transactions, you know, can take anywhere from 9 months to a year. And you're really, you know, seeing the details of the transaction.
There's a lot of details and a lot of places it can go south, right?
There's always a curveball. You never know what it is.
But you know it's coming.
You know it's coming. I always say that when I'm dealing with a client. Hey, everything seems good, but something's going to happen. I just don't know what it is yet. Right. And they say I'm a cynic, but that's just the way it is.
You have some scar tissue.
Yeah.
So now for you, what's the most rewarding part of the job?
Helping a company really find a space that fits the needs, you know, in terms of culture, you know, productivity, and just something that really works for them.
Is it something that, is it like, you know, I've never had a commercial lease, but I've had residential. So I bought a house. Is it the same type of a thing? Like, if I'm buying a commercial space, am I going to 50 different things, looking around? Like, is it the same experience?
A little bit. You know, for me, I'll ask an inordinate amount of questions on the front end to really figure out what your true needs are. You know, lately for me, a lot of my questions revolve around culture, you know, because culture,
it's an interesting thing. Culture.
How does the office impact culture? I mean, you know, there's both ends of the spectrum. You've got the Silicon Valley startups that you know, want a Wii and a ping pong table, and it's cool, it's hip, and
right. So, so then there, but is it parts of town or people, like, how do they choose? Are they choosing, okay, I want to be in Midtown or I want to be in Buckhead?
Walkability, accessibility, where do most of their employees live? Sometimes it's usually where the CEO lives.
That's kind of the bottom line.
Exactly.
How far does that person want to drive?
But, you know, a lot of factors, you know, go into play. You know, do all your employees drive? You know, maybe free parking is a big deal breaker for you, because in some cases, you know, at these, you know, the office buildings in Buckhead that are charging for parking, that could add $3, $4, $5 a square foot to your overall occupancy cost.
Because you pay the parking for your employees a lot of times?
Well, it depends on the company. Some companies view that as an occupancy cost and they'll pay that for the employees. Some, like my company, we get to pay for our own parking.
And then, and that adds up. Like, I know we did some work in Buckhead in the Tower Place area, and I think they said it was like $100 a month for parking.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Probably closer to $125.
Right. So, I mean, if you're working there, then that's built into what you're, you know, that's coming out of your paycheck.
Exactly.
So now for you, do you specialize in a certain type of client? Like, are your clients tech firms? Are they manufacturers? Are they creative service people?
I would say all the above. You know, whether it's, you know, the CPA, like the first, my first transaction was with a CPA
group.
Right,
but that group. Was kind of random, right?
It's kind of random, but, you know, I've worked with groups that, you know, like a hearing aid company. I've represented a couple gyms.
Like fitness centers moving into like a new,
right?
Think not it, in a high rise, right? Like they're into a...
Right. So one gym I did was an MMA gym facility. And
mixed martial arts.
It was right. 35,000 square feet.
Wow, that's
Dallas,
huge.
Texas. Yes, it was.
What's in there? They must have everything.
Well, they had an octagon. They had a lot of stuff going on, and that was a fun transaction. I'm sorry.
You helped them get a new space.
Helped them get a new space.
Wow. So then, that build out must have been interesting.
It was interesting. It was a former fitness center.
Oh, so it was already fitness.
I want to say it was a Bally's Fitness Center, mm-hmm. if you remember that,
yeah.
The group. And so they could use a lot of the existing space that right. was there, you know, like the showers, locker rooms.
So you don't care what the business is?
As long as it's a good business, then sure, but we're flexible.
Right, because that's a weird, from an MMA to a CPA, that line's long.
It is, yeah. Well,
so how do you find new clients?
Cold calling, referrals.
So you're still doing the same thing? You're still walking into businesses and knocking on doors?
So here's a story from last year. I was cold calling. I was walking in a building and, you know, I run into a girl that I went to high school with. She goes, "Are you here to see Jake?" And, you know, I'm looking at the company, you know, the florals on. And I was like, I go, "Who?" And she was like, "Jake, you know, you went to high school with them." I was like, "No, I was trying to cold call on, you know, this company." And she goes, "Oh, no. We actually sublease part of the space from this, you know, the tenant on this floor." And I go, "Really?" So she walked me in the back. And so I met my buddy Jake and his boss, and they said, "Yeah, actually we need to find our own space and quit subleasing part of this space from this other group." And if I wasn't out walking, there's no way I would have.
That was just pure luck.
So that follows. You can call it pure luck, but you know, it's all about timing, really.
I mean, even if you walked in 5 minutes later, she wouldn't have been there.
I know. Yeah. And you know, this is one of the entrances where you couldn't just open the door. You had to have a code or, you know, app to open the door. So it was good. It was luck and timing.
So do you have to go to networking meetings? Like, how do you even know? You just have to be kind of ubiquitous, right? You got to just be out there all the time because you don't know when someone's going to need you.
And you never know. So it's just important that you show up every day, mm-hmm. and you are just out there meeting people, whether it's through lunch or cold calls, you know, whatever it is, you'll always learn something.
Now, what is your kind of special sauce that you offer your clients? Like, what's the thing they go, "You know what? Graham is watching my back. This is what he's great at."
That's a great question. I would say it's communication. That's probably the most important. Also, the level of detail that goes into it, whether it's the space planning on the front end to really figure out, you know, how much space you truly need, factoring in the, interior corridors, the common area factors of the buildings. Sometimes those are things that tenants don't think about. You can count the ceiling grid in your office and say, well, I need, I'm only in 1,000 square feet, when in reality, the building, they calculated on a rentable square footage basis, accounting for, the elevator lobbies, the main lobby and the entrance of the building. So there's a, a certain formula to use to get the true number.
Right.
So,
and you kind of live this every day, so you know all those little things where the person who just rents every 7 years isn't going to know.
Exactly. So I've got a little Excel spreadsheet. Not too fancy, but it looks good.
But you know stuff that I wouldn't know because you deal with this all the time.
Right.
I mean, it's not, my job isn't to lease space. I only do this occasionally. You lease space every day.
Every day.
So now when you're doing your job and you help somebody get into a new office, is there something you do to stay connected with them? Because, you can't wait 7 years for them to move again. Like, how do you kind of keep that relationship going?
Well, always follow up, make sure, hey, how'd the move go? In some cases, I'm a little bit more involved depending on how much they want me involved. And, whether it's helping them get connected with a relocation firm to assist them with not only the move, but the IT and the cabling that's involved. But I try to keep them apprised of what's going on in the market, whether it's, hey, your building is actually on the market, for sale. So you might be expecting, or you might be receiving an estoppel certificate. This just confirms, some of your lease terms and, seeing if, the landlord did all the work for your space. So I always try to, like I said, keep them apprised of what's going on in the market. The group that I was just talking about where, I was walking and helped them lease space. From the day they signed their lease in November, in a matter of a month, their rate in the building, their rental rate went up $5 a square foot. So they got in right at the right time.
Right before the
price jumped up again. So
I'm sure you made sure you let them know that.
Oh, I let them know right away. So
now for you and your work at La Vista, you talked a lot about culture. What's the culture like at La Vista?
The culture is great. We've got, a lot of long-term brokers there. So I like to call them a lot of old, gray hairs and no hairs.
Right.
So, for a young guy like myself, it's a really great opportunity to, bounce ideas off of the, very experienced brokers, like the guys who've been in the business 30, 35, 40, 45 years, because whatever you're working on, they've probably
seen something similar.
Seen it, dealt with it, or dealt with it multiple times, or at least have a, a good story to go along with it.
Now, are you seeing a lot of firms from outside of the metro Atlanta area wanting to move to Atlanta?
There's always companies moving in.
Really?
Always companies moving
in. So how do you get it on their radar?
It's a great question. If you find out, let me know.
So there's no magic there either. So you got to kind of just be out there doing good work, and then they hope they find you.
That's right. I know my dad represented a big law firm that was based out of Richmond. This is years ago that they were coming into the market or wanting to open an office here in Atlanta. And he was connected through them through a close friend of his. So sometimes it's relationships like that, or sometimes there, I haven't been a part of it, but maybe there's a formal RFP process.
So now if somebody wanted to learn more, maybe they're ready to lease some space. What's the best way to get a hold of you?
Call me on my cell or shoot me an email.
And the website for La Vista is just lavista.com?
Lavista.com.
And then they can find you on that website
they
somewhere?
Find me on there, see my bio, my email, phone number will be all on the website.
Good stuff. Well, Graham Perry, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Yeah, you bet.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Office Evolution Radio.